Well, it was about 4 years ago, and we had just gone through a cheated election, in which our tax dollars paid to cheat with COVID and many other things, and they and installed a fraudulent president, one of the crookedest men to walk the face of the earth, Joe Biden. And I made the statement at fellowship, and I didn't know what, I'm not a prophet that predicts the future. I'm not one of those kind of guys. But I know the Word of God, and I know what God will do. And I made the statement that God is going to do something big, that it's so big that when people's ears hear it, they're going to tingle. And so it's happening now. I didn't know it was going to take 4 years, but I knew it was going to happen. And I've also made the statement that all wars are money laundering. Bill, our wonderful Vietnam veteran sitting there in our fellowship here, he fought in Vietnam. He thought he was defending our country. He was probably told he was, but what he was doing is he was making all our Vietnam vets made made people rich. The military industrial complex got rich. I was too young to go in that war, and I'm very thankful for that. But it's the same thing with Korea and the wars we did in the Middle East.
And it's not our soldiers' fault.
No, they were good
No, they
people.
were our soldiers, people like Bill, they went in there to defend their country, to be brave and courageous. And they thought that what they were doing was a righteous situation, but they got used.
And another big lie is they told us the vaccine was safe and effective, and it was neither. They had a study, they buried the study that had all sorts of side effects, and they also had a study that the vaccine did not stop transmission and did not stop the disease. Another thing is many religious leaders are evil. We see it in the Bible. In the Bible, the religious leaders were evil. Well, why would we think it's different in our time? What did Jesus say when he'd go up against the Pharisees? He said, "You're your father, the devil. You're just an open grave. When you open your mouth, death comes out." And a lot of our charities, I have a wonderful job. I work for a wonderful company, and they encourage people at the company to work, do volunteer work for charities. And I'm a little reluctant to get involved with a lot. Some charities are good, but some of these charities are actually evil. And they use these charities that USAID was using charities to spread evil.
To traffic children.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, so that's why I've been making statements like that, and information's coming out to back it up now. But, God will inspire you and me to make statements, and sometimes we don't, God will say, he'll speak the truth, and then we speak it, and then God will back it up later on. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. And I don't want to be negative, but we live in an evil world. But remember, folks, hey, I got this Bible here. I peeked at the end. Our side wins. It's a lot of people, I tell people that a lot of Super Bowls have been fixed and so forth. And whether you believe that or not, I don't really care. I just like to make fun of Super Bowls sometimes. If you want to watch the Super Bowl, nothing wrong with it. If you want to, if you find it entertaining, go for it. But anyway, what we're the game, the war we're in, the spiritual war, it's fixed. We've already won. It's just they have to play, the battle has to play out. But let's see a little bit about this. Get my reading glasses here so I can see these little tiny words on the page. And we'll chapter 4, and we'll start in verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, and in cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You know, it's like we get told that, oh, we, you know, it's being homosexual is noble, but being a Christian is evil. You know, we've had people in our government telling us stuff like that. Well, that's just which way the wind was blowing. The people were tossed to and fro like children, carried about by every wind of doctrine. But you know what? The doctrine of the Word of God will stand forever. Political winds blow back and forth. It's like you see people like Zuckerberg and who's the guy that runs Amazon? Bezos. They're all excited about working with Trump. Well, they just saw which way the wind was blowing. That's all. Verse 15. I'm just looking ahead, thinking what I'm going to say here, but okay, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, making increase of the body, edifying itself in love. But back in verse 14, I want to say a little more about that. There's an interlinear translation of that verse, and it says that we may no longer be infants, not children, but actually infants. And you think about an infant, you know, an infant, they can hardly do anything for themselves. You got to change their diapers. You know, mommy has to hold the baby and feed it. You got to make their bed for them. You got to bathe them. They can, about all they can do is they can smile and they can laugh and they can cry and they can sleep and they can urinate and defecate. That's about all they do. Well, sometimes they spit up on your shoulder when you're burping them, you know, all that fun stuff. But, you know, we're not to be infants because we are children. We're not really going to truly be spiritually adults until Christ comes back. We're still children because we see through a glass darkly. But a lot of people are just infants being tossed and carried about by every wind of teaching in the sleight of men. See, the devil has all these teachings he puts out there to confuse us and deceive us. That's what he does. That's all he does. In the sleight of men, in craftiness, with a view to the systematizing of error. The devil has a whole system of error that he puts forward in this world. And that's why we see all that stuff. That's why Trump has to go through and edit these government agencies and weed out the corruption. It wasn't too long ago I taught, remember, the love of money is the root of all evil. You know, what does the world teach us? The lack of money is the root of all evil. Or they'll say money is the root of all evil. But no, it's when you love money. Nothing wrong with having more money. I like it when I got more than $2 in my savings account. But let's go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 17. And what I'm thinking about with this scripture is we've all had disappointments in our life. And here's a record of a man who had this situation in his life. He had a child that had a terrible disease, and the child was taken with a spirit and would have seizures, and the spirit would throw him into fires and try to kill him, and you know, and he tried to get this child healed and he couldn't. And so finally he finds the disciples of this religious leader Jesus, who had been healing people of diseases like this, and he brought his son to the disciples and apostles, and they ministered to him, and they didn't get healed. And he had this letdown again. And we've all had that in our life. We've had letdowns, you know, like health letdowns. It's like, well, you know, I thought if I followed this Atkins diet, I would get better, and I no longer get ingrown toenails or something, you know. Sorry, I'm being silly. But, you know, we have disappointments. Or like we say, well, gee, if we just elect this Democrat has been awful. If we just elect this Republican, everything will be better. And then in 4 years, nothing changes. You know, it's because there's a thing called the Uniparty, and some of the guys on both sides are crooked. And we have disappointment. So anyway, let's hear in chapter 17 and start in verse 14. And when they were come, the multitude came unto him, and a certain man kneeling down, saying, Lord, verse 15, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic, sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into a fire and into water, and I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. So he's coming to Jesus. And Jesus said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long will I be with you? How long will I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. And verse 19, and the disciples, then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, you know, why couldn't we heal him? You know, that had to be a real disappointment in their life, too. You know, there was even somebody that Jesus had trouble healing. The guy came, and he couldn't see, the blind man. Remember that record? He put the mud on his eyes, and he said, I see men as trees walking. He had to minister to him again. And then there was times Jesus went to his own home, and he couldn't do many mighty works there or many miracles because of their unbelief. So what does it say here in verse 20? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith of a grain of a mustard seed, I mean, it's a little thing like a poppy seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove and hence it to a yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. And yeah, sometimes we have disappointments in life, but you know what? We never give up. We keep fighting. It's like I was sharing before fellowship with some of the people that, you know, I've been fighting arthritis, you know, it's for 30 years. And, you know, and sometimes I'm thankful that, you know, it's like we all have things that go wrong in our body. I'm glad I'm not fighting cancer. I'm glad I'm not fighting heart disease and heart attacks or something awful like that. But I had a setback where I was getting worse. And for a long time I had I was doing pretty well with it, and I had things under control. And it turns out that I had a food allergy. I was trying to eat better. I was eating gluten-free food, and the gluten-free food had tapioca starch in it, and the tapioca starch, I had an allergic reaction and made my arthritis worse. So I could have just given up and said, oh God, I'm just never going to get better, woe's me. No, I had a suspicion I had an allergy. I went to my naturopath and he confirmed it, so I quit eating. You know, if something's bothering you, you quit doing it.
Yeah.
You know, it's simple. Let's go to Samuel. Chapter 3 in the Old Testament. 1 Samuel, that's right. I think it's 1 Samuel. You know, I didn't write it down. We'll find out pretty quickly here. Yeah, it is 1 Samuel. Oops, went too far. I'm back in Judges. Chapter 3 and verse 11. And this is, again, there's a long story here, because we had a crooked prophet, this old man. He was crooked, and he didn't do the word of God. He knew what the word said. He knew the right thing to do, and he wasn't doing it. And not only that, he let his sons get away with evil. He had sons like Hunter Biden. They'd show up. They were using their dad's position of power to get women. So his sons would go to the temple, and young women would come to the temple to make a sacrifice or something, and they would use their position as a son of the prophet to induce these women to have sex with them and other nefarious deeds and things they were doing. And God thought this was wrong, rightfully so. And so God raised up this young man, Samuel, to be the next prophet. But Samuel didn't have any training and didn't necessarily know what he was doing. So God had to teach him, and he had to learn a few things from the old Eli, the old prophet. But anyway, that's the background. Here in verse 11, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which the ears of everyone that hear it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all the things I have spoken concerning his house, and when I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him, I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth." He knows he's saying it and keeps doing it. "Because his sons made themselves vile, and he, Eli, restrained them not. For I have sworn the house of Eli that iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged or forgiven, and neither with sacrifice nor with offering forever." And anyway, I think that's enough. I was going to read more, but basically God lays it out. But the thing is, that's why I said 4 years ago, I said, God's going to do a thing that when people's ears hear it, they're going to tingle. Because I knew something evil in that 2020 election. Our government had paid to do to put in COVID in place and to cheat the election. And our tax dollars paid for that. And they could do the mail-in ballots. You know, they had some counties where there was more ballots turned in than there was registered voters. You know, how the heck can that happen? So, and then that USAID, they were funding those impeachments. They were funding a lot of those dishonest DAs that were looking into stuff.
Paid for the Russia,
yeah, they paid for that Russia hoax, yeah. Russia, 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 instead of like, what was it?
Marsha.
Anyway, and I know that, because there's a lot of people in this country that love God, it's not just this, there's a lot of other false, small fellowships like this. I mean, our typical fellowship will have between 10 and 20 people. You know, Jesus Christ had a little fellowship of 10, of 12 people. He called it apostles. And there's fellowships all around this country, people doing Zoom meetings or meetings in their home and teaching the Word of God. And there's people that maybe they go to a mainstream church and they love God or whatever. But God not going to sit back and let the evil. Now, if people's hearts depart from him, then God will just he figures, well, I'm not going to save the people that don't love me. But remember what God said in fellowship? He said he loves us very dear. We're very dear to him. And God can only, we've been praying, Diane and I, we pray every single night, and we pray for our country, and we pray that things turn around. And God hears those prayers. And when you guys pray, God hears those prayers. And God is doing a thing now that when people hear it, their ears are tingling. The mainstream news is trying to sweep it under the rug, but it's coming out anyway. Let's go to Acts chapter 9. Here's another amazing thing that happens when the Word of God starts moving. We're going to...
What verse?
We'll start in verse 3. This is a record of the Apostle Paul. In fact, maybe I'll even start in verse 1. And Paul used to be called Saul. Saul was a very religious man. He had a zeal. He lived to be a Jew. He lived to do the law. He was a, what was it, a Pharisee? Yeah, he was a Pharisee. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was educated by one of the top PhDs in the Old Testament, Jewish, whatever it is, you know, Gamaliel, whatever, I don't know. He was a Jew of Jews. He loved it, and he hated this. He saw people go turning to Christianity. He saw it as a threat to Judaism. So verse 1, it said, and Saul was breathing out threatenings and slaughter. He was breathing out murder. He was a murderer. You know, people say a murderer can never get born again. Well, Paul murdered and he got born again. So that's not true. You know, and Paul was about as against God as he could possibly be, because he was thought he was working for the one true God, and he was working for a devil instead. Breathing out murder against the disciples of the Lord, and went to the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus and to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And in verse 3, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about from heaven a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. And now it's interesting. Some people are teaching that Jesus is God. Jesus is not God. He's the Son of God. And some people are teaching, well, yeah, he's the Son of God, but we can pray to him. Well, Jesus is a spiritual being. He can only be at one place at one time. So if Jesus is here confronting the Apostle Paul, he can't be answering prayers to the 100,000 people that are praying to him somewhere else. He can only be at one place at one time. And so, but God sent Jesus here, and he said, I'm Jesus who thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And that's an Orientalism, where they, when they plow, they put these little things on the plow, so if the oxen would try and kick the guy that was running the plow, they'd kick into this little prick, and it would hurt them instead of hurting the guy running the plow. And so, verse 6, and he trembling and astonished and said, Lord, what do you want me to do? What? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into a city, and it will be told what you should do. And so the men journeying with him stood speechless. The men, they heard a voice and they saw no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man. He was blind. So let's skip up to verse 10 here. Oh, I was almost there anyway. So, yeah, we'll read verse 9 as well. And he was 3 days without sight, neither did he eat nor drink. You can't go very long without drinking. You'll die. But this was such a trauma to him. You know, it shook him up. There's a lot of people that are waking up that realized, oh my God, this left-wing wokeness we've been following, it's evil, it's wrong. And verse 10, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. He wasn't a prophet. He didn't have a ministry of healing ministry. He wasn't a PhD. He didn't go to seminary school. He was just a certain disciple. See, sometimes some of the greatest events that happen in the Bible were just ordinary people like us just decided, oh, you know what? I'm going to take action on the Word of God, and I'm just going to do this thing. And so, but before he did it, God had to work with him a little bit. And it was said to the Lord in a vision, Ananias, behold, a certain disciple was told, said to the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, so he had a vision and he heard his name called. And verse 11, and the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he's praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. And Ananias said, wait a minute. Is this the same guy that's been killing believers? Said, I think you got the wrong guy here. I shouldn't go. If I go there, he's going to like lay hold on me and put me in handcuffs and lead me back to Jerusalem, and I'll have to answer the high priest for whatever. And verse 14. And he has authority from the chief of priests to bind all that call on your name. Verse 15, and the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. So, and we know the story. Ananias ministered to him in verse 18, and immediately there fell from his eyes that had been scales, and he received sight. And then he started eating and drinking, and next thing you know, he's out. He started going through the Word, and he knew the Old Testament backwards and forwards. And God started giving him understanding of what those scriptures meant. And he's out teaching the Word, and became an apostle. That's another thing that happens, is God can turn our enemies to be our friends. I still remember my first fellowship. I had a guy show up in my fellowship that we had literally been enemies of in high school. And this was a couple years after high school. We literally had a fist fight each other. And he showed up, and I was teaching the Bible, and he was hungry for the Bible, and he got excited. He kept coming back. And so God can turn people that, and we've seen that, some of the people that were hardcore on the left, pushing evil, USAID and all that stuff, and pushing these evil, sometimes they flip and they change. There's people that do podcasts, like Joe Rogan, used to be a hardcore Bernie Sanders supporter. And now he thinks Bernie's full of crap and that he's a Trump supporter. So God changes people's hearts. That's another thing we pray for. And we just speak a little bit. And, we bring up things. And anyway, God, this is a great time to be alive. We're in a time in history where God is doing things that's literally going to make people's ears tingle. I guess maybe that's figuratively. But this is, I just love being alive now and seeing what's going on. This is just a great time. So that's what I had to share from the Word. I'm going to have a word of prayer, and then we will make it available for other people to say things. And for those of us that are here, we're having chili. Nice, warm chili on a cold day. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that. So Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today, and thank you that we can be alive in this day and time when these great things are happening, where we're seeing, literally seeing evil being dismantled and replaced by good. I know this doesn't happen very often, because this evil that we're seeing dismantled has been around for at least 100 years, maybe more. And it's a whole system of error put in place by the devil. And it's been maintained by generation after generation of evil, crooked politicians. And to see these people called on the carpet, and to see them, you know, like the flashlight of God's word, come and shine in their lives, and seeing them scurry like evil little cockroaches running from the light. It's just a joy to see this happen, Father. And Father, all I can say is continue to do this. And we're here to help you in what little bit we can. And we pray and support the people that are doing this. And I thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 Amen.